The Island Digest is a sampling of the stories in this week's Journal of the San Juans, Islands Sounder, and Islands Weekly, which are on newsstands now. The July 6th edition is brought to you by Orcas Center's Summer Concert Series and EDC of San Juan County. Headlines from local papers. From the Islands Sounder and the Islands Weekly, new program to help islanders receive transportation to off-island rehab centers, by Colleen Smith. When an addict makes the decision to seek help, what comes next is a big question. In the San Juans, there are organizations in place to guide those in need, but if treatment at a mainland facility is needed, that's often a significant challenge. In just the past 4 months, 70% of our fellow community members who were ready for treatment didn't get it because timely and appropriate transportation couldn't be arranged, said James Connell, who helped found Recovery in Community, which pairs trained advocates with clients who are seeking sobriety. It's a real, documented problem, and we're losing folks who could be getting better. Since its launch in August 2019, Orcas-based RIC, www.ricorcas.com, has provided support to nearly 30 islanders in partnership with community organizations. RIC is now overseeing a county-wide collaboration called Recovery Rides with Compass Health on San Juan Island and the island's three community resource centers. The program will match drivers and riders with clients who need transportation to a treatment facility, which can be as far north as Bellingham and as far south as Everett. The trip involves several transitions, from home to the ferry, ferry to taxi, taxi to the facility, and then 30 to 90 days later, the same trip in reverse. I've known of two people getting to the ferry to head off island for treatment, and they've never been seen or heard from again, Connell said. We've got to do better than a 70% loss rate. Timing is also critical, explained Connell. When a bed is secured for a client, they often need to arrive at the facility the following day, or the spot is given to someone else. Compass Health provides outpatient substance use disorder services. Some of the clients we assess for treatment need inpatient programs, which means we refer them to treatment centers on the mainland. Recovery Rides allows them to get not only the transportation they need, but also accompaniment, someone who can ride along with them to encourage and support them on their journey to rehab and recovery, said Anthony Turndrup, Compass Health Outpatient Program Manager for San Juan County. How it works. There are three elements to the program. Volunteers who drive clients to an island ferry terminal, paid riders who accompany clients to and from the treatment facility, and off-island drivers, generally a contracted commercial vendor such as a taxi. Based on previous year's numbers, it is estimated that 45 islanders need transport annually to or from a mainland facility. RIC is implementing a networking strategy to identify and then recruit, train, and schedule drivers and riders to sign up on San Juan, Orcas, and Lopez. Organizers say reliable, accompanied transportation to and from treatment will begin September 1st. The pilot period will run through December. Megan Neal has been hired as the part-time coordinator for the project. For more information about participating, email rrcoordinator@ricorcas.com. Connell quickly raised $5,000 to start Recovery Rides from many of the same donors who helped launch RIC. That seed money will last for the first few months. Fundraising for a full year, $36,000, is happening now. To donate, visit their website at ricorcas.com/recoveryrides or mail a check to Orcas Community Resource Center, 374 North Beach Road, East Sound, Washington, 98245. Write for Recovery Rides/RIC. Once the program commences, Compass Health, the resource centers, and RIC will refer clients to Recovery Rides. San Juan County and Compass will contribute to the partial reimbursement of transportation costs from designated funds. On-island volunteer drivers will be gifted $50 to donate to a chosen charity, while riders will be given a $200 to $400 stipend, depending on how much time is spent with the client. Riders and drivers must be 18 and over and will have their backgrounds checked. Compass Health and RIC will administer a 90-minute training session, and Compass professionals will also be on call for the duration of the trip in case more support is needed. All financial details will be handled by Recovery Rides, including ferry tickets, taxi rides, and even a hotel if the rider cannot get home in one day. Those who sign on will be required to commit to at least one specific day per month. There will be a primary and secondary driver or rider in the event that the primary is not available, and participants can be matched by gender. Connell and others involved with the project say the experience can be deeply moving. When we assist a community member to change their life for the better and see firsthand that addiction knows no socioeconomic bounds, I think it will be really enlightening for people, Neil said. Added Connell, Recovery Rides will have community impact and help to destigmatize those who face the challenges of addiction. From the Journal of the San Juans, Spreading Goodwill, by Heather Spaulding. In the early morning hours, May 19th, Will Blackman received a surprise phone call from the town clerk, Amy Taylor. She told him he was needed at the town's regular meeting that day. It was very important. It turned out Blackman was being awarded the Goodwill Ambassador. I wasn't sure what a Goodwill Ambassador was. I had to look it up, Blackman laughed. It's something I love doing. I don't need an award for that. Islanders may recognize his smile from around town as he waters the flowers that line the street, waving at passers-by. Many follow his Facebook posts, full of daily inspiration. We are all ambassadors, Blackman said humbly. You have all been nice to me, so it's easy for me to spread positivity. You all are my inspiration. For the town of Friday Harbor's Mayor Ray Jackson, however, it was important to recognize employees who go above and beyond their duty while maintaining a positive attitude. Blackman has done so effortlessly for years. This is not the first time community members have thanked Blackman for spreading goodwill. San Juan Island resident Kitty Sorgan, for example, made him a quilt last September to show appreciation. Will is an inspiration, and he deserves to know what he means to so many people in this community, Sorgan told King 5 News when they aired a segment about the gift. He's always got a big smile on his face and spreads so much light. That really blew my mind, Blackman said. He knew Sorgan and had heard she made quilts. One day he asked her if she really was a quilter. Man, that would be nice, Blackman said when she told him she did. The next thing he knew, Sorgan asked to meet him at church. Blackman brought her flowers because, he said, he brings flowers when a woman asks him to meet. I love my blankie. It goes off-island with me. I take it to the movies, Blackman laughed. One of my adult kids was using it the other day, and I said, hey, what are you doing? Go get your own blanket. Blackman wasn't always so positive. Growing up in Sacramento, he was surrounded by chaos. In Sacramento, you hear the guns, bums fighting. There isn't the chaos here, Blackman said, adding that the island has served as his inspiration. One of the first jobs Blackman had when he moved to the island 20 years ago was at Window Craft. He credits the men he worked with at Window Craft as being his mentors and helping him grow. Ted Dillery, Roger Paul, and Jerry Mullis are the three main people I look up to. I watched how they carried themselves, treat women and each other, They're genuinely nice guys and talked to me with respect, Blackman said. Until meeting them, Blackman said, he was mostly in survival mode. He knew right from wrong, Blackman said, but he had also picked up a lot of street life throughout his childhood. They taught about what it means to be a man. As he creates his social media content, he doesn't plan ahead of time, but writes what hits him in that moment. I try to practice what I preach, lead by example, and spread positivity to myself, too, Blackman said. With the crazy times the world is living in right now, Blackman does have a couple of wishes. One is that people communicate more, on a personal level. I want us to communicate. That's the only way we can find our way out of all this, he said, adding that while people talk about teaching children how to be adults over social media, adults have been behaving worse than children. We all talk about how we are teaching our kids, but what are we teaching ourselves? Blackman is concerned about the community's youth, which goes toward his second wish, to make the island fun and safe for children. The kids could really use a rec center type of place, like a YMCA, Blackman said. He gave kudos for all the programs Island Rec puts together, but he would like to see an actual center where kids could go. We have a $6 million oasis for your pets, but nothing for the kids, Blackman said, adding that the island has more young people than adults. The kids are like, I'm lost over here. They're bored and learning some crazy stuff on social media. While the world is topsy-turvy, Blackman said he advises the community not to take things so seriously and focus on taking care of home instead. If we take care of our own, if we take care of this place, we will be great. That's what I love about this place. I see its potential. In countywide news, new ferry hires up, new vessels delayed, by Heather Spaulding. As service remains in flux due to lack of crew, locals are paying close attention to the Washington State Ferry Service. Islanders made up approximately a third of the attendees at the WSF online town hall meeting on June 15th. The most anticipated information was how recruitment is coming and if there is an estimated time frame for fully staffed vessels. We have hired 137 crew members since October, said Steve Nevey, head of marine operations. To entice new employees, WSF is now budgeted to hire for the year rather than seasonally, a move that seems to have helped. Nevey cautioned, however, that more crew is still needed, and it will take until the summer of 2023 for some routes to return to normal. Currently, there are 174 licensed deck crew members, and a total of 200 are needed. That may not sound like many vacancies, however, Nevey explained that licensing can take 6 to 8 months. This is true even if the employee already works in the maritime industry. Jim Korenman, chair of the San Juan County Ferry Advisory Committee, explained that in order to gain their pilotage, WSF must be able to draw a map from memory of all the ferry routes and terminals in Puget Sound. Classes are currently in progress, Nevey said, and more are scheduled. To alleviate some of the stress and make getting the necessary licensing easier, the Washington State Legislature has provided funding for WSF for a variety of new programs. One new program allows the ferry service to sponsor employees who do not have the required funds for credentials. Another program assists parents with childcare. The state historically has not provided WSF with enough funding, according to Patty Robstello, Assistant Secretary of the Washington State Ferries, but legislators have funded the ferry system better this year. She thanked the legislators and 40th District Senator Liz Lovelett in particular for her role in passing a budget with additional ferry funds. But there is more to be done, Robstello said. The ferry service is also lacking vessels. The fleet consists of 21 boats and an additional 5 are needed, especially since the Tilikum is in need of major repairs. Both the Yakima and Kalitan need maintenance as well. Under state law, WSF must contract with a boat-building company in Washington State, according to Korenman, unless they cannot find anyone who will complete the project within 5% of the estimated cost. In the past, WSF has contracted with a company called Vigor. It was contracted to design the new boats, which the company did. When it came time to build the boats, Vigor wanted more than what WSF offered. As a result, the ferry service is now shopping for a new builder. Korenman explained that the state uses a cost provided by a private contractor. If they are unable to find someone who comes within 5% of the state's estimated cost, WSF can look at companies from other states. So, one way or another, the boats will get built, Korenman said. It does put the project behind schedule, however, and WSF now anticipates the 5 new boats will not be completed until the middle of 2031. The first boat should be complete in mid-2027, with 1 new vessel a year after that. This means that WSF will also be requesting additional funds from the legislature to keep the Tilikum running for at least another 5 years. As a result of both crewing issues and the delay in new vessels, the Anacortes-Sydney route is not expected to return until the summer of 2023 at the earliest, according to Korenman. He explained that after the Elwha was retired, the Chelan became the only boat certified for international travel. While the Chelan is in good shape, having a second boat available in case of emergencies is ideal. Once the new ferries arrive, one of the Olympic-class boats can be certified for backup. In the meantime, Korenman encourages the community to continue being nice to the workers who show up. They are working hard. Peak season is approaching and frustrations are high, he said. The good news is that ferries will be supporting training and helping the people who want to move up and advance their position, Korenman said. County ferry advisory committees are encouraged with the direction they, WSF, are going, but we are also concerned it is going to take some time. Excerpts from San Juan County's Sheriff's Log. On June 21st, a Lopez deputy responded to an accident without injury. A vehicle traveling downhill from Pavey Boulevard swerved around a deer and struck a tree. There were no injuries and minimal property damage. On June 22nd, a Lopez deputy responded to a missing person call from a person who reported their roommate went missing sometime early in the morning. The missing person was quickly located. They had gone for a walk nearby. A San Juan deputy responded to a report of an online dating scam. The reporting party stated that images were sent to the suspect, who threatened to distribute them if money was not paid. It appears the suspect is not in the United States. The incident was documented. On June 23rd, an Orcas deputy investigated the report of a stolen field and brush mower. The investigation is ongoing. A Lopez deputy responded to a lost property call. An individual visiting Lopez lost a wedding ring during a bike ride on Lopez. Please contact the sheriff's office if found. On June 24th, a San Juan deputy stopped the driver of a vehicle because the driver was using a cell phone while driving and was not wearing a safety belt. The driver was issued citations for failing to wear a safety belt and using a personal electronic device while driving. On June 25th, a Lopez resident reported finding their trailer door open after being gone overnight. A deputy on Lopez responded to a dog running around the farmer's market after escaping from a house in the village. The dog was returned to the owner's property, where the deputy learned that the owners had a house sitter who did not know how to properly close the front door to contain the dog. On June 26th, a deputy on San Juan took custody of a silver ring that was found by a citizen in the public parking lot on Spring Street. The ring was packaged, photographed, and put into evidence as found property. On June 28th, a deputy on Orcas took a report of lost property. The owner was not sure where they had lost their canvas handbag with a seahorse on it. A Lopez deputy directed traffic for several cows who escaped onto Center Road. This concludes the July 6th edition of the Island Digest. This edition is brought to you by Orcas Center and EDC of San Juan County. Orcas Center is presenting a free summer concert series in the Village Green in East Sound, running through August. Learn more at www.orcascenter.org. EDC of San Juan County strives to support small rural enterprises, conduct projects to stimulate new job creation, and strengthen the economic base for working families. Visit www.sanjuansedc.org to learn more. Tune in next week for more local news from the Journal of the San Juans, Islands Sounder, and Islands Weekly. And thanks for listening.